tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's January 20th, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. January 20th, of course, is Martin Luther King Day, and that is something that, as always, Apple is celebrating on its homepage. This is by Ben Lovejoy, my colleague over at our sister site, 9to5Mac, and they're talking about how Apple, as usual, is celebrating Martin Luther King Day with quotes from the civil rights champion. And today's quote is, "The function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically." So obviously something that we always want to celebrate, and of course something that I'm celebrating as well by not really working. I've got my kids. I've got my holiday. It's wonderful, and I'm definitely going to enjoy it. And to that end, I'm going to have a pre-recorded interview about this. This is a Southern company announcement for a six-month grid-enhancing EV fleet pilot program. Developed in partnership with Ford Pro, the Southern Company pilot will see more than 200 F-150 Lightning trucks incorporated into the utility's existing vehicle fleet. It will leverage pricing signals and demand response to evaluate the impact of cost-effective charging within a fleet environment while demonstrating the efficiency of using established charging depots. In addition to exploring the cost savings of EV versus ICE, the pilot will also explore the use of software to automate charging schedules, which would enable customers to charge at times that minimize both their electricity costs and reduce any potential strain on the electric grid. We're joined today by Tom Canada. He's a senior account manager for Southern Company and also very much involved with fleet electrification. Tom, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Now, Tom and I were talking a little bit before this show started, and Tom's actually got quite a resume when it comes to EVs. At one point, he was the liaison for the EPRI list, which is a sort of vetted product list that runs an ongoing specification of every EVSE home charger, public charger that's out there in terms of the hardware itself. He was boots on the ground for a Southern Company with fleet electrification, commercial fleet electrification, actually getting chargers, getting steel in the ground as well. And now you're running the fleet electrification project. I mean, it sounds like you are the right guy to have on this show.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I'm excited to be here. And I get to work on some cool stuff. And I think the topic for today is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, you know, I saw this press release when it came out in December. And, you know, we obviously with CES and the holidays and everything, it's taken us a while to get on the show. But, you know, it's a really interesting project. You guys are really leveraging a lot of the managed charging, a lot of the time charging, the fleet tracking software that comes with Ford Pro to really put this out in there and you know, put these vehicles out on the road. And then I presume you're going to gather that data, present some kind of case study to your customers, and hopefully enable a broader adoption of EVs where it's appropriate for those fleets.
Yeah, I think we're kind of viewing this two ways, right? One is we operate our own fleet internally. And so as we have Ford vehicles as part of our larger fleet, we have the Ford Pro chargers. And now through this pilot, we've got access to this Ford Pro software, right? So we have all these pieces where we have the vehicle, the charger, and the control system, and it enables us to do some pretty cool stuff. And we can start to look at, as you said, if we can schedule or manage timing of that charging, really what we're looking at with this is how much can I influence and shift these resources and these vehicles charging without impacting our business needs and without putting our business in a position where we're not able to perform the work we need to do. So this is kind of like it's like a full package that we're working with Ford to say, what does this enable for us internally with our fleet? As we talk with customers about this electrification journey, we're also kind of learning insights we can share with them that to say, here's some things we learned in maybe it's implementation, maybe it's operations, reliability, maybe it's the value potential here. But, you know, there's no two fleets operate the same way. So as we look at this, we're looking for very broad learnings, best practices, and kind of key takeaways that help influence our fleet as well as our customers.
You know, you said something very interesting there, or at least interesting to me, right? That no two fleets operate the same way. And we've talked about this a number of times on the show, that there's two types of sustainability, right? There's sustainability in the sense that you want to sustain the planet. We have to have healthy air to breathe, water to drink, all that. But there's also sustainability in the idea that we have to be able to keep doing business and continue to do the work, not only the work that we're doing today, but the work that we're going to be doing tomorrow as well. So I'm really kind of pleased to hear you say that and mention that. When you look at this pilot and you look at the different ways that you're operating this fleet, are you able to kind of do a one-for-one replacement on some of these EVs, or do they require you to approach the way that you schedule people and schedule your crews differently?
Yeah, interesting question. And I would say where we're at right now, we're kind of evaluating where there are use cases that make sense, where we can take this vehicle and we can put it where maybe there was a gasoline or a diesel vehicle doing that job prior. Now we've got an electric vehicle in there. We're not necessarily changing the way that our drivers operate or the jobs that they're doing. We're connecting the needs for vehicles with the capabilities of these trucks. So we're really prioritizing that ability to get the job done, the reliability, the dependability, predictability of this. And that as we continue to evaluate information from these different routes or fleets or job classifications, that just helps us further look at and identify more opportunities that we can use additional trucks.
So now, Tom, I've got family in the South. I've got a bunch of family in Eastern North Carolina. We were talking again earlier, North Florida, Atlanta, Georgia area. I've got family all over that region, right? And one of the things that they always mention to me when they talk about electrification, especially vehicle fleet electrification, is this idea that the grid can't handle it, is this idea that the grid is not going to be able to supply the power when they need it. But obviously with this pilot program, you're trying some different strategies, some managed charging, and at least in that area, you guys are the grid. So how do you address questions like that or concerns like that? Do you think they're valid? Do you think that, you know, there's a solution forthcoming? How do you approach that when you have these conversations with the broader community?
Yeah, Joe, it's a good question. And there's so much to unpack here. So I'm going to try and kind of keep it high level and we can dig deeper if we need to. But maybe I'll start by saying, a lot of times you'll see these headlines and or people will say that this is going to put strain on the grid or the grid can't handle it. I think really what that points back to is if you look at how much generating capacity we have today on the grid, and you say, here's how many vehicles are in the United States. And you can kind of run the numbers and say, this is how much energy it would take. And you look at that and you say, if every vehicle today right now was electric, hey, this is going to be a problem, right? The reality is that's not the case, right? And so what we see is we're seeing this adoption over time. We in the utility industry have a very robust planning process. And we go through annually. And we take a look and say, okay, what new load is coming on? What are we predicting? We have a lot of different scenarios. We've got experts in these load forecasting and modeling departments that this is their job, right? And so when air conditioning came online decades ago, it wasn't, oh, the grid can't handle it. It was, we're going to, through our normal process, plan and build to suit that load as it comes online. So I think that maybe I'll start there by saying, I think our normal business process, as we see this load coming on, we're going to address it and we're going to accommodate it. I'm not concerned about if cars go electric, we can't handle it. That to me, I would put that to rest and say, through the processes we have in place, we really do a good job of seeing that and addressing and building for the load. I think there is another piece of that where people say, well, I can get my truck delivered in a few weeks and it takes a while to build the charger. I think some people maybe latch onto that and misinterpret that as being the grid can't handle it. But in order to enable vehicle adoption, we've got to build that infrastructure as well, the connecting the charger and the dispenser itself to the line, so to speak. So I think that also kind of gets confused and complicated in there. But let me tie this back too into this pilot we're doing now, because we talk about how do we do this in a way that benefits the grid. To make a long story short, we see the amount of consumption varies and it fluctuates throughout the day, right? And so historically, the grid hasn't had a lot of energy storage on it. And so at any given time, we are generating and matching what our customers are consuming. And so if you think about like in the middle of the day when businesses are operating and everyone's running their air conditioner, like the hotter it is, typically we see higher loads. If you can shift that charging to a period of lower utilization, that helps take some strain off of those peak periods, and it allows us to better utilize the assets that we have. So that's why when we talk about shifting load, what we're really talking about is if we can influence the timing throughout a day of that charging behavior, that can take some of that strain off the grid and allow us to maximize our ability to serve vehicles and utilize the assets that we have today.
Yeah, he's so good, right? I know, I was just thinking that. So I don't know if you saw the comment. So we have some of our PR and media handlers are on the chat here with us and listening in on the conversation. And the comment was, bingo, Tom, you should do this for a living. He's so good at this.
So far, so good.
All right. Well, we'll ruin it here on the next one. So perfect. Obviously Southern Company, large utility across several states. And you know, obviously we don't want to drill down and talk about things on the state level, but at least from the utility side, when we look at, you know, what we think might be coming in the next administration over the next couple of years, and, you know, will they, won't they, at the very least, we'll say there's uncertainty when it comes to EV incentives and electrification incentives. Do you feel like the utility is taking that upon themselves and taking a more active role in helping its customers that are interested in electrification to electrify now that the federal government is kind of going to be more hands off?
Yeah. So maybe what I'll say on that one, Joe, Southern Company has got this great culture of innovation, and we have been engaged in this electrification space and really looking at building the future of energy for a long time now, right? So across administrations, across the political spectrum, we kind of view it as we've got a commitment to our customers. And as we see the needs of our customers and expectations of our customers changing, our goal is to be there to serve them clean, affordable, reliable, safe electricity and fuel energy, if you will. So when we think about like what's going on with some of the uncertainty and what does the future look like, I'll share Southern Company has a publicly announced 2050 net zero carbon goal as part of our emissions and sustainability goals. So I think what you're going to see is that isn't necessarily going away. That's not going to change. And that's not influenced by any one administration. That's kind of our long term. This is the vision. This is what we're working towards. And so on that pathway, we're looking at how do we do this for our business and how do we support our customers as they increasingly are working towards their own net zero or sustainability goals.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Tom. You know, I know we're coming to the end of our time commitment here. I want to be respectful of that. So for people who want to find out more about the work Southern Company is doing, want to find out more about these pilot programs and follow along to see the end results, what's the best way for them to do that? Obviously, TikTok is going away in a couple of days. So that whole dance channel that you guys put together is going to be gone. Where should we go from here on out?
Yeah, Southern Company does have a couple of social media channels that they post updates and things, news articles. But maybe we're on a future podcast here talking about some of the results of this pilot we're doing. You know, we started last month. We're in this sort of data collection early stages. You know, the plan is to kind of look at that, evaluate it, and then have another round of evaluation to say, hey, here's some things we've learned. And we plan to talk about that with our customers. If you're somebody that's interested in this, go to one of our websites, Southern Company or any of our operating utilities. There are links to electric transportation. You can get in touch with a specialist through that and get connected. We can talk more about it.
That's great stuff, Tom. Now, I offer this question to a bunch of my guests, and I think you're probably a smart guy. You're going to have a good answer for me. If I was a good interviewer and had done proper research, what is a question I could ask you that you and Southern Company have a really good answer for?
Man, I got to say, honestly, I went through a whole list of things to prepare for, and that was not a question I was expecting from you. So there's so many things we could go through and talk about. I might ask you, what's the biggest thing you're hoping to learn from this, right? Why the pilot with Ford Pro? What's the one thing you're hoping to learn? And do you have a inclination of what the results might look like?
Yeah, so I'm actually really curious about this because where I live in Chicago and, you know, in that area, everything is very densely packed. So even if you're talking about, you know, a large customer, a large delivery fleet that maybe has a driving route, 100 miles, 120 miles is really the upper limits of that. And you can have, because we do have a more robust DC fast charging infrastructure out here, you can have a scenario where you're asking your drivers to plug in for 30 minutes while they do their bathroom break or whatever it is they need to do and recharge it. So you can get two full cycles of a battery, you know, kind of with something like an E-Transit or an F-150 Lightning. So in my memories of the South, which are from my youth, I remember stuff being further away, right? Like if you're going to hop in the car and go to Walmart, you're going 15, 20 miles. And I think the delivery routes and the truck routes, and especially for the utility, you're covering a much larger area with much fewer vehicles per mile of area being covered, sure, right? So I'm really curious to see if you think that's going to influence the results of this. If you're looking at this saying, well, maybe the results are going to be that we can electrify 20% of our fleet when our goal was 50, or maybe it's going to be 30% of my fleet when our goal was 100%. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. And I'm wondering if you guys, I probably shouldn't talk about this horrific gambling problem that I have on the air, but I wonder if you guys are running an over under on that and how I can get in on the over under.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. And the answer is always, it's complicated, right? And so to your point, if you think about where we operate, we have the full spectrum of, we have very densely populated urban city centers in the Southeast. We also have some more rural parts of the states that we operate in. And so within our own fleet, it's great. We have this sort of built-in variability of some of our trucks may be short distances, but all over the place in a metro area. Some of them are running long routes. We've got kind of regional offices spread out throughout our territory where we're able to serve and dispatch from. So yeah, to your question, we take into account things like vehicle utilization, daily range. We're looking at things like, you know, does the vehicle sit parked at a depot overnight? Or is it a truck or a sedan that like maybe the employee takes home and they've got it in their driveway? So where's the dwell time and the charge opportunity? Where is their DC fast charging, either stuff that we own, operate, and install as a fleet operator, or maybe there's some public that we can utilize? We're in a space right now where there's a large number of options and pieces to this larger puzzle of how do we pick the trucks or the vehicles and how do we know where to charge them? That strategy is got a lot of pieces to it. So all of that goes into play when we think about how do we pick the next vehicles to electrify? I think what we're seeing is we've got a lot of opportunity to do so. And so again, this Ford Pro pilot, not only are we looking at how can we electrify, but we're looking at, as we electrify, how can we optimize? And if we can influence that charging, not only is it, can we charge, but it's, if this vehicle is going to sit here for 5 hours and it only needs an hour of charge, can we optimize and influence that? And what incremental value does that add to our total cost of ownership calculation? So that's, I don't know if that answers your question or if that gives you kind of a snippet into how we're thinking about it. But yeah, it's not a quick and easy, like, here's the solution. there's a lot of approaches that incorporate a lot of considerations. And part of it is, how is the vehicle being used? What is the charging infrastructure in that area look like? And we really see a large spectrum. And so we take that into consideration.
Totally agree. Once again, that's Tom Canada from Southern Company. Thank you so much for being on the show. And any parting thoughts?
I'll just say I enjoyed it. Great conversation. And thanks a lot. Thanks for having us, Joe.
Of course, man. We'll do it again when the pilot wraps up.
Sounds good.
Once again, Tom Cannon from Southern Company, thanks so much for being on the show. And I'm sure Ford is very excited to hear their name said all those times. So good luck to them as well. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss the next hard-hitting industry interview here on Quick Charge. And of course, catch all the latest news back again tomorrow.